Hello and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. Each week, we talk about different college admissions topics and answer those tough questions you may be dealing with concerning getting into the college of your choice. We know how difficult this process can be, so each week, we try and make it easier to navigate. Now, here's your host, Anna Wren and Mark Huffer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast with me, Anna Wren, and
Mark Huffer. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Mark. So glad to, you know, have this wonderful afternoon to talk with you today. So we're going to be talking about interviews, right?
Yeah, one of my favorite things, having been on both sides many, many, many times.
Ooh, I'm sure you've got like a lot of good stories to share too.
Yeah, and of course, I think all people who have done interviews, they share some of those stories with each other, and best hits, I think, is what we could term them, the best hits of interviews.
Yes, and I really like what you've labeled this this topic. When you said college interviews, the myths, the magic, the mirth. So let's just dive in. Do you want to kick us off?
Sure. So I think what we try to do is I think we try to make timely podcasts according to the schedule and the calendar of where a lot of students find themselves during the college interview process and the application process, rather. And I think the interviews, many students are finding out, they've done the application process, they're finding out from schools, and they're hearing back from schools and getting requests for interviews. And this is an important part of the process. And as you and I mentioned earlier when we were talking, we said that this is not a spot where the interview can keep you out of school unless you do something really disrespectful. But it is definitely a place to shine brightly, don't you think so?
Absolutely. It is a chance for, if you think about it, and we'll talk about it, why do colleges even conduct interviews? It's so that, and not every college conducts an interview, so I'll put that out there as well. It's a select portion that conducts interviews. But, you know, it's just a chance for you to be yourself and for admissions to get to know you.
Absolutely. I think that, and that's the thing, that the school is basically identifying, you know, that you are a responsible person that can carry on a conversation. And this is really just a conversation. That's one thing I think students often start to picture this conversation as something big and hairy and scary. And when it really isn't, it's just meeting somebody and talking to them about their alma mater and something that you're very interested in.
That's a great way of putting it. You know, while some college interviewers do have questions prepared, I think you hit the nail on the head in saying it's really just about being able to carry that conversation. And, you know, I think it's fairly relaxed usually. So we'll cover a few of these different topics as we go. So, you know, we talked a little bit. So why do colleges conduct interviews? Because there's a few schools that required it, some recommend it, but why do you think they conduct them?
You bet. I think when students know what they're really having this interview for, it helps considerably. And one of the things, the application process and the interview as part of that application process is, it's basically a school identifying, you know, are you a good bet? Are you a good bet for resources and their time? And basically, there's no substitute for meeting somebody face-to-face. And we had a previous podcast on face-to-face meetings and why it's important to go meet people at a school you're interested in. Well, this is just one of those cases where you have a chance to do face-to-face conversation with somebody who knows that school really well.
That's definitely true. And I think people, like you said, they get so scared going into it. And there's different types of interviews too. So there's admissions interviews, which actually happens with admissions. And some of them I know, like for example, Wake Forest University or Carnegie Mellon, you can schedule those when you go on campus visits. And I highly recommend students take advantage of that. But a lot of them are also like the ones that are happening around this time frame are alumni interviews too. So what would you say, like, how should we prepare? How should students prepare?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that the students have to understand. While this is a conversation, and a lot of conversations happen cold, this is one you can really prepare for and set yourself up for success. And there are just a couple of things that you can go over in your mind and reflect on. And a lot of the things that you put in your application are things that can directly apply to this conversation. And I think one of the things you have to understand that when you're having this conversation, they're looking for a couple of really simple things. They're looking for maturity and responsibility, your social proficiency, social graces, that kind of thing. And they're also looking for niceness, which we've talked about in a previous podcast as well. But it's just a conversation you can prepare for by a couple of things. And what are the things that you tell students just before they go to an interview, or things that they can prepare for?
I say do your homework. And what I mean by that is do your homework on the school, but also do your homework in terms of knowing who you are too, and being able to speak about yourself naturally and genuinely. Because a lot of questions we'll cover in a little bit are just about you. And then some are like, why do you want to go to this school? So those I think are very common. And then I always talk about how you're going to make an impression before you even open your mouth. And what I mean by that is from the initial email you send to set up your interview to what you're wearing and what time you arrive at the interview, all of these matter. But, you know, what are some things you advise your students?
Absolutely. I love the preparation and the things that happen before the interview. I think students don't realize the adage, every day is an interview, really applies to this. And that means the day before the interview, when you are having an email conversation with the interviewer, if you're asking them questions, that's part of the interview. So make sure to proofread your email. Capitalize letters that are supposed to be capitalized. Use correct punctuation. Those are all part of it. One of the things that I really let students know, because in this day of internet stalking and whatnot, I think they're a little bit reticent about doing a little bit of digging on who they're going to be interviewed by. And the thing is, students are expected to do a little bit of research on who is going to give the interview. So you should know, what are they about? What do they like to do? You know, what business have they pursued? Those kind of things, those help you be a better person to talk to during the interview, because you can ask questions and find things that are in common, which is really important in a good conversation.
That's a great point. And I even tell my students, I'm like, don't say you look them up on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is a really great resource to use.
Yeah, I don't think you want to start the phrase with, well, when I checked you out on Skype, you know, when I checked you out on Facebook and you know, your Twitter feed, I don't think that's probably the way that you want to address some of the conversation.
Correct. Because that, like you said, you can tell, like sometimes you can see what they majored in, what kind of line of work they're in. And then you can also find out if the questions you're going to ask are questions that they can answer also, depending on what you're interested in and what they're interested in as well. But in terms of, you know, every day is an interview, I mean, students often ask me, well, what do I wear? And I tell them a nice button-down shirt and a nice pair of dress pants. Is there any advice you give?
Absolutely, yeah. I say clean and crisp. And basically that usually covers just about everything that you're going to have in an interview. And the other thing I do is I encourage students to ask the person who's giving the interview what they'll be wearing. That kind of gives you two things. It gives you what they're going to be wearing so you can recognize them. But they also will give you a little bit of a hint about what kind of attire they're expecting for the interview. So those are two things that, I mean, if you ask them what they're wearing, you can actually identify a couple of key components to the interview.
Absolutely, because I think one of the things we will probably want to talk about next is where do these interviews happen? And, you know, depending on where they happen, it can be hard to navigate and figure out, well, it reminds me of that book, Are You My Mother? But it's like, are you my interviewer?
Yep.
But, you know, so like some of the settings are like when I was an interviewer, like I often used a Starbucks or a coffee shop of some kind or Barnes & Noble. But what are some other places?
Yeah, I think those are the real common ones. I think Starbucks, because they're they're you know, found in so many towns, small, big, and otherwise, that I think a lot of students are finding that that's a common place to have the interview. But a local restaurant or cafe and a library, libraries are also a common place that I've heard students who said they've met their interviewer at a library. It's quiet, and a lot of times that there's a conference room. Who have you heard from students are giving interviews? That's the other one.
So I think in terms of alumni interviews, you're right. I feel like they are getting younger, but they really do vary. I remember when I was an admissions interviewer and we were going through the training, and the person had said, it's funny, but like younger interviewers tend to be a little harder, whereas people that graduated a while ago from the university tend to be a little more generous with their ratings. And I think it's because, like, because we graduated more recently, we remember what it took for us to get in, and there's this subconscious comparison. But honestly, I think every interviewer is there to help you win. You know, they're rooting for you at the end of the day.
Very good. I totally agree. You mentioned one thing that I think would be, if you were to identify, since you've been an interviewer, and I don't think students understand that there is some training involved for those people who do give the interviews. What are three of the things that the university tells you, you know, key on these things? What are you looking for?
I think we're trying to figure out, they're trying to tell us, well, would this, try to figure out if this person is a good fit based on their personality. So it goes back to that essay question, kind of like, would this person be a really cool roommate for someone on campus? And then the other one is, you know, what do we think they will bring to the university and how will they benefit from the university? And these are questions that are often in the back of our minds. But I think even little things, kind of like how we had talked about face-to-face and niceness, just even etiquette, in terms of, well, how will this person represent the university? So, you know, little things, like you had said, you'd have to really mess up for your interview to count against you. So an example of that would be if you accidentally stand up your interviewer. And, you know, then that might say to the interviewer, okay, maybe they are not a good representation of what our students are like for the future. Because, you know, this is one of many interviews for a student in their lifetime, probably. So those are little things I think we look at.
Agreed. I think that's one thing that I if students understand that the person who they're interviewing with is basically, they're part of a club, and they're going to be interviewing you as a possible future participant in that club, and they want to make sure that, you know, they want to make sure, like you said, do they represent the university in a way that is going to be advantageous to the way that society looks at their club. And I think if students understand that, basically that's what this conversation is about. That's a big component of it.
What a wonderful way of putting it, Mark.
I don't know about that. Now, since you've given interviews, what is the timeline? Students always ask me, they say, well, how long will it be? And how long have you given interviews?
So it varies. But typically they range from a half an hour to an hour. And sometimes I get really amazing kids and we'll end up talking for more than an hour. Like even my own interview for college, I remember talking for almost an hour and a half with my interviewer.
Yep. Yeah, I always pull, that's one of the questions when I talk with students after their interview is I get an idea for how long the interview was. And I tell them, you know, the record for the shortest interview I've ever heard was about 3 minutes.
And wow.
Basically it was, hi, how are you doing? Are you excited about the possibility of attending, you know, University of X? And basically it was, thank you for your time. I'll let the university know that you're an outstanding individual. And if you have any questions, contact me. And then they were done.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the other side of that coin was somebody out in your neck of the woods there on the East Coast. Student showed up, they were told to show up to an address, and then when they got to the address, it was basically a dock. And they walk out and they got on a boat and the interview was 4.5 hours on the boat.
That is so interesting.
I'd never heard that one before. So that,
that is a first for me too. My goodness, yep. On a boat. I mean, I've had an interview before at someone's place of employment, which I think is a safe place to also go as well. But what would you advise? Are there anything to not, like any places to not go?
Yeah, there's one that, and I've heard this twice in probably the last 5 years, where the interviewer has requested the student come to their house. And that is that's one of those things that just kind of puts a student, I think, in an awkward position, because there are so many things in today's world that just having that situation can open up a lot of doors that maybe you really don't want to. And it puts the student in the position of, do you ask for another venue? And how do you do that respectfully? And I think that's one of the things that I encourage students not to do, is have an interview at the home and basically respectfully ask for a different venue if possible.
I think that's completely within range. And I've had students where we have also made that request as well. And then, you know what? It's funny because then the interviewer is like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how awkward and blah, blah, blah. And they apologize. But I think, you know, hopefully most of the time it is somewhere out in public. So that's good.
Yeah. I think that's the safest bet where, I have never heard of anything going awry in an interview, but I think it's also one thing to be, you know, conscious of, be socially aware of.
So let's dive into it. What are some common questions?
Admit, that's one of the things. I think when we talk about preparing for an interview, it's important that students know, while, you know, any question is fair game, and there are, you know, an innumerable number of questions that can be asked, there are some really common questions that if you think about and you have reflected on prior to the interview, they're going to basically be answers to many of the questions that you're going to hear. Mm-hmm. So you use those in many different ways. The other thing is, read over your application before the interview. A lot of that information is going to be things that they're going to talk about. So I think those are really important things before they keep, before you sit down to the interview. I mean, the real classic, I think, question that you almost hear in every interview, whether that's in school for a college interview, or for internships, or for graduate school, or for even work. I think one of the most common questions is, tell me about yourself. And that's a loaded question. Do you use that one?
I do. But I also coach my students now that, you know, how do you, so because if someone asks to tell you about themselves, or have you tell them about themselves, like, how much do you say? And I think that's one of the questions my students have. So I usually just coach my students to say, oh, tell them a little bit about, you know, where you go to school, and like a little bit about your family, not like a deep dive into the family tree, but, you know, just like if mom and dad, where they went to school, if they went to school, what do they do now? A little bit about like your siblings, like what grade they're in, and then like maybe your favorite class.
Yep. I think those are really good points to use in that, in answering that. I think one of the things that I hear from people who give interviews, and also as an interviewer, one of the things I'm really looking for is, I know that this person sitting across the table is usually, they're a little nervous, and a lot of tells get shown when somebody's nervous. So one of the big things that you're looking for is, does this person just ramble on? So, and people do that when they're nervous. So I think like you mentioned to your students, you know, identify a couple of points to touch on. And I usually say, you know, if you're a minute or minute and a half in, that's plenty. It's not like they're expecting you to keep going and tell, you know, your life story. They want to find out just a little bit to start the conversation.
That is exactly what I mean, because I'm like, one of the things you offer will prompt them to ask another question. So you don't have to tell them your whole life story right with that question.
Exactly. So what are some of the other common questions that we know that students are going to hear?
I just remember, and also my students get asked these questions too, is just like, tell me about your classes, what's your favorite class? And obviously I think for any question, always follow up with the why. or, you know, be able to expand upon it. Obviously, your interviewer could ask you why, but you could save them the trouble and just expand upon it. Another one is related to their activities. And like for the activities, I would say like if you're bringing a resume to the interview, then maybe pick like two or three that you really care about. One that you might have leadership in, and then maybe one that relates to your interests if it's different. And then I would say, depending on the school, maybe one related to community service. And I think that has a lot to do with research, because I went to a Jesuit school. So as part of our culture, you know, service in the community was really important. So it was always something that I was always looking for when I interviewed students. But what are some other questions that you've had?
You bet. And I think you touched on probably one of the best and most important skills. And I tell students this as well, and I'd advise them in their writing, get into the habit, and it should be just as much an interview and conversational skill in, when you're speaking. And that's when you answer a question, immediately follow it up with evidence. By, like you said, if somebody asks you, you know, tell me about your school, you don't just say, well, the school's great. Follow it up with, my school is great. For example, because, you know, these are ways that you basically provide support to why you said what you did and gives evidence for why it's important. So I think in any question, like you identified, follow it up with some evidence immediately. So be prepared to give an example. And you know, if the interviewer doesn't have to ask you why, you save them the trouble. So,
and I think the other thing to keep in mind and why I tell students to do it is if you think about it, this is similar to your essay, except it's in person. And depending on the school, like we had to do a write-up on each student we interviewed. And it's hard if, you know, you don't have a real conversation going because it just feels like a back and forth question and answer session. And whenever you can tell a story, it just becomes more memorable in the interviewer's mind. And it also just makes it easier for them also when they have to write their report.
Exactly. I have a friend who's one of the best magicians in the world, and his name is Eric Mead. And he and I have talked about stories and how to tell stories, and he basically summed up the importance in one phrase. And he said, the person with the best story wins every time. And I cannot tell you how many times I've found that to be true in all of life. And this, you know, the interview, the college interview is one place where you will shine brightly if you have a good story and can tell it well. So I think that's important. Other questions that we might toss out there into the podcast sphere that students might appreciate hearing before the interview. Have you got some others?
I think usually it's like, what is your favorite book? Who do you look up to? They're kind of boring, huh? But, you know, I would say some of them also just build upon whatever you said. So I had a student who was kind of caught off guard. They were interested in studying business. And so one of the follow-up interview questions was, what is a company you admire and why? And so, and he was kind of a little bit deer in the headlights. He recovered, but I think it just goes to speak, really know yourself and know what you're talking about because little things like that can come up too. But what are some of the bizarre questions you've heard?
Well, I think one of the interesting things that I think students also need to know that different interviewing styles will show up. And if you're interviewed by different colleges, you'll hear different people interpreting how they're supposed to find out information about you in different ways. So, you know, one might be asking you, what's your favorite book or what are you reading now? And another one might ask a similar question and say, what book would you require for the freshman class of next year? And I think those are situations where they want to find out, are you an academic? Do you read? And also, what do you find important? And what do you think is important for others to know? So those things, have you thought about those kind of issues is one. But the other part of this interview is to identify, can you think on your feet? What's your sense of humor? Are you flexible in the way that you approach the world? And I've written down a question, do you believe in unicorns? Now, I did that kind of as a joke, but the thing is, I would not be surprised if somebody asked that of a student during an interview, just to see what kind of sense of humor, what kind of sense of exploration, is this person creative in the way that they answer questions? Those are all fair game. And I think that's one of the things that students have to realize. This is supposed to be fun. And they need to make sure that if they're caught in a place where they're a little bit anxious, to have some fun.
That's a great piece of advice. And I often tell students, you know, if, because I always ask a whopper of a question at the end of my interviews. And so when I coach my students now, I was like, if anything, I will hopefully be the hardest interviewer you get.
Oh, nice.
And I don't mean to intentionally be hard. And, you know, now thinking back to when I was an interviewer as an alum, I'm like, wow, I did. That was a rough question. And it would render them speechless. And I would just say, that's okay. So don't feel the need to answer right away. It is perfectly fine and actually really great if you can just tell the interviewer, do you mind if I just take a few moments to compose my answer or to think about it or gather my thoughts? And as an interviewer, I was like, wow, this person's going to deliver a thoughtful response, at least, if anything. And I think that's really important, is being able to recognize that it doesn't have to be like rapid gunfire. You can absolutely take some time to figure out what you want to say.
Oh, absolutely. I think you hit the nail right on the head with, and it's basically, does this person have poise? You know, can they take a second to thoughtfully and authentically answer a question, or are they just going to fire off the hip? And I think everybody likes to ask a question and have somebody answer it, you know, from an authentic place. One of the things that I've heard from students who have already had interviews this year is there's a question that's starting to pop up, and that is basically, what do you think about the election? Now, that question, like you say, it's a biggie. I mean, this is one that people, it's a hot topic. It can be answered in so many different ways. But I think it is one that interviewers are asking. Not only are they interested in finding out from a high school student's perspective, what do they think about the election, but they're also checking to see, does this person have poise and diplomacy and respect and honesty? All can they do that within the confines of a communication and basically an interview setting? And I think that's one question I've heard probably a half dozen students who have been asked.
You're absolutely right. I had a student come across that, and they're like, do I answer that honestly? Because I don't share the same views as other people. I was like, I want you to be honest in your response. But, you know, I think you need to temper it a little bit and just keep that in mind when you respond, because everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Many schools tend to be on the liberal side, and my student happened to be more conservative. But I was like, but don't be afraid to share your view, because on a college campus, they are looking for differing opinions and views on different issues.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things, it ties into one of the questions that a lot of interviewers ask, and that's, what special characteristic, what uniqueness, or what qualities do you bring to the university that are going to be important in a conversation in the classroom? And I think that question, you know, you can hear so many things about how a student is going to present their ideas in a respectful and diplomatic way so that other students can hear it and also be able to respond.
Great point. I was going to ask you, there is another question that comes up that often stumps students, is what happens if a school asks, what other schools are you applying to?
Oh, that is a good one. You know, usually when I tell students, I tell them to be honest, because they know. In most situations, schools are able to know where people are applying, and you might as well just be real honest. And I think if students are working with an educational counselor and consultant, I think a lot of them have already talked about best fit school, and they can identify, this particular school is a best fit for me, And there are other schools I'm looking at, which I also think I can do very well attending, and that I will be successful there. But this school has these particular items that I'm really interested in. And just be real honest.
I think that's a great policy. I actually know you're not, for many schools, we have a policy where we're not supposed to ask.
Yep.
If we're alumni interviews. And what I tell my students is, I want you to be honest, but I want you to be vague. So what I mean by that is, you can say, you know, I'm looking at other schools that are similar to yours that have a blah, blah, blah program and who also have XYZ, you know, clubs and activities for me to continue, so on and so forth, or if they're located in a certain geographic area, and try to go that way. I don't think it really matters that much in general, but I know it. Students often ask, like, how do I answer that? Will it make a difference?
Absolutely. I'm going to steal that for now on, and it's the be authentically vague. And that's actually true in so many components of life as well, is you want to be as honest as you can, and it's vague at times when it when there can be different interpretations, for sure.
And I think it's perfectly fine, because honestly, for many schools, the policy is we're not even supposed to ask.
Yeah,
so exactly. I feel like that is a nice compromise of a response.
So what do you think, you know, and since you've been an interviewer for a school, and we say why they're giving the interviews, but in the back of your mind, while you're having this conversation, what are some of the things, like during the training, they said, we want you to look for these particular characteristics. What are some of the common characteristics the interviewer is saying in the back of their mind, I'm looking for these things?
I think we're looking for, it really has to do a lot with personality and fit, like you said. So part of it is, like, I remember I had interviewed someone and I could tell that we weren't his top choice.
Yep.
And he approached it that way. So I just felt like it wasn't anything he was saying necessarily, but the way he was saying and the way he carried himself that made me feel like, oh, he might not be a fit here. So I think sometimes that has to do with being humble, humble swagger, as we have mentioned and you have mentioned before on previous episodes. I think it depends on the school, but like Georgetown is very, you know, international. So, you know, another thing that might be important to us is like, how do they, you know, interact, or how have they dealt with diversity? But I think it's all things related to the culture and the mission of the school. How about you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things that when we talked about doing your research, know the mission of the school that you're going to be talking about. Know what is important to them. Like you said, you've had a Jesuit education. Introspection and reflection, if you're not going to bring up those things during an interview that they're important to you, it's a Jesuit school, those are things that they really cherish and they hold at the highest level. So knowing what the mission, both academic and socially, like you said, some schools being mission-driven, that it is to help the community. You are a service provider, and basically that's your component in the world, is being a person of service. If you don't know that about the university, it will show during the interview.
Absolutely. What else do you think they look for? You said you've interviewed in the past as well. What are you looking for?
Yeah, I think the big one, like you said, I'm a huge fan of humble swagger, a person who knows that they have many things to bring to the table, but they're also very willing to take a step back and let others shine, and if not, even shine the light on others so that they can, you know, really bring what they can to the table as well. So that humility, that you don't know everything and are willing to ask others for help and for information, that kind of give and take, it's a unique place where somebody really shines how respectful and responsible they are as a person. I think those are the big things. And now I think one of the global perspective characteristics, do you view yourself as a citizen of the world, not only of a smaller community, but how do you relate to your position and your ability to have influence on the global perspective.
That's a great point you raise. And I think with that as well, I think some universities are also looking for students to have an opinion on what's going on in the world. So I think for students, and I often tell them, it's important to stay on top of current events. I'm not saying you have to live in them, but scan the headlines every day just so you know what's going on. Exactly. Because you never know what someone will bring up.
Yeah, that's part of that. What have you read recently? Where do you get your information? That's another common question is, what are you using as sources of news to be an informed citizen and part of a global community? And then, that was one of the other questions that I heard recently. How do you know what the information you hear is true? How do you evaluate it? And basically, it's we hear so much about fake news. So now, one of the questions students are hearing, how do you identify the news that you're hearing is true? So I think that's one of the common questions that students are going to hear if not this year, it's definitely going to be showing up in the years to follow.
That's a really cool one. I haven't heard that one yet for this submission season, but it's very current and relevant. So we all know at the end of the interview, the interviewers often ask, what questions do you have for me? So what do you think are some good questions that students can ask?
You bet. And that's one of those things where I think students don't understand that the conversation is give and take. There's a flow to it. And it's basically, it's not just supposed to be a one-way conversation where you answer questions. And that's actually something that makes a conversation fun. Like you said, your college interview was 90 minutes. The person on the other side of that conversation was enjoying it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have continued that long. And that's one of the things you want to make that kind of impression. So the best way to do that is ask some good questions. I think my favorite question that I really encourage students to use in their interview is, who was the most amazing professor or student that you met during your time in college? And I think that opens so many good possibilities and questions.
That really does. I've never received that question before, but now I wish I had.
One of the other ones, I think the culture of the college, and remember, they're interviewing you to see if you're a good fit, but you are also asking questions to find out if the school is a good fit for you as well. So I actually ask, it's a cultural question, but I encourage students to say, who do you keep in touch with that you went to school with? Basically, have you established lifelong friends? Or were you just a number at a big university and graduated and that was it? And I think that will tell you a huge amount about the culture.
That's a great point. And the other one I would say is people love to talk about themselves. So if all else fails, ask about their experience. What is their favorite part of being at that university or college? You know, is there anything they would change? Another one I like is like, what's one of your favorite memories? And it ended up with me actually sharing one of the college traditions on campus. So it's a way for you to find out more about the university, but, you know, with stuff that you can't easily find on a website or something like that.
Absolutely. You have a personal representative of the school in front of you and a chance to talk and find out things that are not going to be on the web. They're not going to be written someplace. And I always kid students to ask those questions that are important to them, that will be important to their life and being successful on campus. And I say, you know, ask them, where's the best grilled cheese sandwich, or where can you get the best gelato? Where's the best washing machine on campus? All of those kind of things. Those are things that I think either the person is going to know, or they're going to identify that those are things that are important to you as well.
That's a great point. What would you say, you know, in wrapping up, are things that they definitely shouldn't do or definitely should do?
Oh, yeah. Things not to do. Do not be late.
That goes back to niceness, I think.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Make sure that you know where you're going to be having the interview. Make sure you get good directions. Show up early. If you have to sit in the parking lot for a little bit, fine, but don't be late. It's just one of those, like you said, it's respect.
And I would say, you know, in terms of, well, don't be late. Also, don't stand them up, but
show up.
Show up, please. We are very understanding in some cases. So if you have to reschedule, absolutely just reach out to them and explain what's going on. And you'll find that most of them are pretty understanding. And I think the thing to keep in mind why respect is so important is while there are interviews conducted by admissions, there's a lot conducted by alumni. And as a result, you have to remember that this is their personal time that they are giving up. Yep. So you just want to be respectful of that. So I don't want students ever to think that just because your interview ended in 30 minutes that that was a bad interview. Good. Not necessarily. But you're right. If they want to and they have the time to talk for you forever, that's great too. But I happen to know like there's certain interviewers in the area where they'll schedule interviews back to back. And they literally only have half an hour. And you can kind of see their face when they see another student show up. It's like that anxiety. So, you know, make it whatever you can, make it easy on them too. You know, you can always follow up later with them on things that might not have, you might not have gotten to in the interview.
Very much so. I think one of the other things that's come up in our digital world, and especially since we're carrying computers around in our pocket now, and it's such a part of our culture to have our phones on all the time. And this is one place where I tell students, you know, at the very minimum, turn your phone off. If you can turn it off and leave it out of sight, even better, leave it in the car. Or even better, turn it off and leave it at home. And I think that's one of those things we're so ingrained. Even if we've got it in our pocket and we've got the vibrate on, if it buzzes in your pocket, you have now moved your attention from the conversation to your pocket. And I think that's actually one of those things that is a very disrespectful, and people notice it. They really do. So we talked about things not to do. What are things to do?
I think it's definitely to show up early. I always recommend my students get there 15 minutes before the interview. And keep, you know, rush hour and things in mind when you do that. The other thing is if you are meeting at like a cafe or like a Starbucks, my students often ask me like, do I get a drink? Do I not get a drink? What do I do? And it's funny, but I often say, you know, give yourself enough time that you can arrive there early, pick up your own drink, and then sit and wait for them. Because then you don't get into the awkward part of them offering you a drink and you not knowing what to say.
Exactly. Yeah, and one of those other things, this one often gets pushed, you know, into the back of your mind and then suddenly becomes an issue. Go to the bathroom before the interview, you know, because if you're going to be nervous, you don't want to have to, you know, can I excuse myself during the middle of the interview? So make sure you take that off. Basically you've removed that to possibility, and so it doesn't have to be an issue during the interview. The other one, and you mentioned this early on, and it's basically the things that happen before you start speaking. And we know that first impressions are huge, those soft skills, things like handshake. So if you don't know if you have a good handshake or not, I'd practice it beforehand and practice it with a number of people and get, you know, real truthful feedback about how is your handshake really. If you haven't practiced that before, this is now a time you can do it. And it's one of those things you can prepare for before the interview.
That's great advice. And it is those intangibles. And along with that, I would say, if you haven't done an interview before, see if you can do a mock one at home with people that you know and practice your responses. And I actually tell my students to record themselves so that they can hear their own speech patterns. Because I had a student once who spoke like she was from California, and I used to joke with her. I was like, you know, I know you don't know the movie Clueless because it was before your time, but you sound a little bit like that girl, which is, so I was like, so please, you know, try to work out your ums and likes and as ifs and the Valley accent. So that's another thing I would recommend as well.
And I think one of the things that I tell students, there, much like we talked, there's a kind of a flow to a conversation. And one of the things, if you're being interviewed, kind of the mantra of you listen first, you speak second, and then ask third. And basically that it's almost like a tennis match. There's, you know, it's volley and return. And I think that's one of the things, just like a conversation, you can actually have a nice flowing conversation just using those kind of those three steps.
That's a great point. I never thought about it like that before, but I think you're absolutely right. That is how the conversation goes. And I think, you know, when you do listen, then you can hear the question clearly. And similar to those essay questions, be sure you answer their question. Because sometimes I'll have interviews and I'll just be like, I'll be stumped. I'm like, did they answer my question?
Yeah, don't answer the question that you want to answer. Answer the question you've been asked. And I think that's one thing that's, it can be really deceptive on where you go with answering.
That's a good point. And always, I think, back to niceness, just thank the interviewer.
So we've talked about the in-person interviews, and there are a couple of things, of types of interviews that have started to become more common. And I think that's because if people live in a rural area and that there isn't necessarily an alum from that school that is nearby, we're starting to hear a lot of Skype interviews. And I work with students who are from the African Leadership Academy in South Africa. And I've learned a lot from them about Skype interviews. And there are some things that I've definitely found that are helpful in that particular situation. Do you have a lot of students now who are getting Skype interviews?
I get it more with my international students. So, and I think a lot of the times, you know, it's partially them getting to know you, but I think it's also they just want to also understand your English speaking abilities and just make sure it aligns with your testing. But, you know, what advice do you have for, I guess, Skype interviews?
You bet. It's some little, I mean, tiny little things that make all the difference in a Skype interview. The first one is, don't over-relax. Just because that person's not in front of you, they still can see you. And that makes a huge impression. And not only can they see you, they see what's behind you. Now, the reason I bring that up is because I've been giving an interview to somebody. And this was a college student. And when he was giving the interview, he had set his camera up so that it showed the wall behind him. Now, I usually tell students, when you do that, make sure that the wall behind you is neutral. Basically, it's, you know, the lighting is good on your face and behind you is a neutral wall. In this particular case, the student they just didn't pay attention to it. And I was almost embarrassed to even bring it up.
But oh, no.
Yeah. Behind him was a huge poster of a scantily clad woman. The thing is, while we're giving the interview, you know, that's basically what you saw on the screen. It was his face, you know, superimposed on this poster. And it was really disconcerting. So make sure you know what your screen looks like and be aware of it.
That's a great point. And you know what? In this day and age where I think that goes for interviewers too. So I'm always like, ooh, let me go somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, just make sure you test your equipment and make sure it works.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things with Skype, and because they give so many different versions of their software, make sure you've done the most recent Skype download version. And the reason being, you don't want to have to be doing a download. Your interview is at 10 a.m. and at 10:15, you're still doing a download. So make sure that you've downloaded the most recent version of Skype software. That's really important. One of the other points that I think really helps, and students have told me that this is one that is kind of silly, but it works, and that's putting a smiley face sticker next to the camera on your computer. And basically it just reminds you to smile, because you don't want to, people see your face, and that's a big part of when they're having an interview and all they can't see the rest of your body language. So they're basically using, you know, your face and your eyes and your smile. So, you know, that little sticker can really save you.
That is a great tip. So as we wrap, go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just going to say, but the other thing is, a lot of people put a sticker that says breathe. And that's just to remember to relax. And I think that's the other part. Like, this is supposed to be fun. So if you got the smile and you're breathing, those are two great components of the conversation.
That is so apt, because I really do feel like sometimes people stop breathing, and that surprises me, actually. I'm like, wait a minute. I was like, this is just, you know, this is supposed to be fun. You know, like, you know, it's not the end of the world, like we had said, if you don't do well on it. You know, it can only help you. And it's in certain situations where, you know, a university will go back and look at the interviews, but it's just for a chance for you to get to know the university better. So, no, those are wonderful tips and reminders.
Yeah, one of the last things that I really want students to know, that they don't realize an interviewer wants you to do well. You've got that going for you. Going in, person on the other side giving the interview wants you to do well. They want to be your champion, and basically they want to be the one who says, I just talked with a rock star, and they are going to probably do something amazing in the world. I don't know exactly what yet, but this is a winner, and they want to be the one who discovered you. So they want you to do well. I don't know any interviewer who sits down with the idea of, I really hope this person doesn't do well so I can, you know, report back to the school. That's not the way it works. They want you to do really well.
And you know what? Especially the alumni, they do this because they want to, you know, hear more about what you're passionate about. And so they're really, like Mark said, you know, like you said, they're really big proponents for you. So again, you really can't go wrong.
Yeah, I don't think if you're honest and authentic and you answer the questions that you've been asked and you have fun, there's no way you can't do well at this interview.
Oh, and then I would just add one more thing, because I know with Skype interviews, some students are tempted to record their answers or like type their answers ahead of time. And I would just say, don't read off your answers. A, because if you're wearing glasses, we'll actually see it reflected in the interview. But B, because then it just sounds like you're a robot. So I think it's okay to take notes, but definitely don't read off your answers.
That is so funny. I totally forgot about that. In interviews that I've given over the phone or over Skype, it's actually happened a number of times where I've given a question and you can hear the person typing to find the answer on Google. And
oh, goodness.
Yeah, and you can tell, you know, they're distracted and they're trying to find the answer and they're still trying to carry on this conversation, and they're doing all three things poorly. And it's just, yeah, I totally agree with you. If think about and reflect on the questions that you might be asked, but don't script read.
And I guess what would be the last thoughts or, you know, parting thoughts you would leave with our listeners?
You bet. I think the biggest thing is to have fun. Remember to breathe and remember it's a conversation. Remember that this is an interview of you asking somebody who knows the school that you're interested in and knows a lot about it, some questions to find out more about the school. And basically remember that this is a chance to shine brightly. It's not a place that you should be worried about, because it's just a conversation.
Absolutely. That is exactly what it is, a conversation. And I would say, you know, if you think about it, if there's any question you just want to make sure you know the answer to, is why do I want to go to that school? And make sure you do your research. And, you know, be able to relate. So, you know, weave your thoughts and weave them into a story. And that way, you know, you'll be memorable with admissions.
Agreed. Know your story.
Thanks for listening to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast, where we make getting into college easy and fun. Don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to get updated each week when we release a new episode. Also, for more helpful college admissions information, visit our website at www.c2ccollegepodcast.com.